We have got a fantastic episode of State Your Line today. A day late, but certainly not short on content. We've got the Chiefs game to recap. Big W, Chiefs standing in first place in the AFC now. So we got to get to that. We've got some openings and closings around Kansas City. Big opening. They're talking about new ballpark. It's going downtown. It's happening. Uncle John confirmed that today. We get into what we tried this week around Kansas City, talk about, also, I think, I'm going to get a little Midwest mad. We've got a personal pine tar and we're going to talk our mixed plate. We're going to talk Royals Stadium locations. Welcome in to State Your Line, a podcast for Kansas Cityans by Kansas Cityans. We are the Ritz Brothers. Today is November 16th, and the Chiefs, first place in the AFC. I mean, who would have thought we were dead in the water after the Bills beat us at home? It was over. Everyone was ready to crown the Bills, the number one seed. And then here we are a few weeks later, and Pat Mahomes is my front runner in the MVP race, and
Kevin's your personal front runner.
Patrick is my personal front runner for the MVP.
Okay,
that's right.
Okay,
yeah, And the Chiefs are in first place, so all is restored in the world.
Yeah, a really really dominant performance. I mean, we basically had four turnovers, and we basically lost the turnover value turnover battle 4-0. We had an interception, a fumble by Pacheco in the red zone, like at the 10-yard line or whatever it was, a fumble on special teams by Jody Fortson, and we lost an onside kick to start the game. That's basically four turnovers, and we were never not in complete control of that game. And to say, like, you lose the turnover battle 4-0 and you still win, that's just insane how dominant of a performance it really was. It felt like, you know, watching that game, sometimes we joke about it online, but it was like Andy was calling the good plays this week, and Mahomes was on God tier. Mahomes was godlike, just making every correct decision. That means you had the best play caller probably in the history of the NFL calling a fantastic game against that defense, doing everything right, scheming guys wide open. And then Mahomes was seeing every wide open player and throwing them the ball, and they were catching it. And that's exactly how and why the Chiefs can be the most dominant team in the NFL. You can lose the turnover battle 4-0, and then you can just have the best at what he does in calling plays, the best at what he does at throwing the football and finding the open guys and playing within Andy Reid's offense, and the most talented player at his position, which is Pat Mahomes. And all that combines to losing the turnover battle 4-0 and still completely being in complete control of a game against a team that's better than their record says that they are. So yeah, that's a lot of fun to win that way. And yeah, it was a nice, relaxing game. I really never got nervous, even when like things weren't quite going our way a few times in the first half. And then, you know, those two unnecessary roughness penalties that should have been called. Even when like things kind of didn't seem like they were going our way, I was really never too stressed out. It was a nice, relaxing game. I never thought we were going to lose that game at any point. I really was feeling good the entire time because I saw guys were open. Mahomes was hitting them. We were calling the good plays. The offense was moving, and there was no stopping the Chiefs that day. So except, you know, some turnovers, but again, that did not stop us. We still dominated the game.
Yeah. It's gotta be really, really head scratching to play the Chiefs and think we did everything right turnover wise, and we still had no shot of winning that game. And I think other teams watching that have to just be like, Mahomes is just on a different level. It's so hard to beat us when Mahomes plays to that level. Like, again, he can lose the turnover battle 4-0 and still absolutely dominate. I think, again, we talk about this a lot on the podcast, just making sure we appreciate what we're watching here, because it's truly incredible. We see greatness every single week, and just I'm still very, very thankful every time we play. Like, this is my guy. This is my quarterback. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
I truly appreciate the greatness that we're seeing. Mahomes is now tied with John Elway for the most games with three passing TDs. They both have 33. And you might say, well, Danny and Kevin, you often talk on this podcast about how overrated John Elway was, which he is. And I'm happy to continue to have that conversation. But so you know, that's not even that great of a stat, because we both agree John Elway is overrated and Mahomes.
We were lied to as kids, I feel like, just that John Elway was better than Dan Marino. Like that was something, a truth that I grew up with, that just was like a fact, like Elway was better than Marino. And I just feel like I was lied to.
Yeah, like, I think you're right.
Like, you know, Santa Claus.
Marino is,
I don't know,
incredibly underrated. Yeah, because he doesn't have the rings. And
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I didn't grow up watching it. Like, was he just a huge choke artist? Was he terrible in the fourth quarter? I don't know.
We were lied to, but you're right. We were lied to. But so Mahomes is already tied with Marino for most games with three passes.
Elway,
Elway. And you might say, well, it was a different game. Well, Mahomes is already tied with Ben Roethlisberger for most games with four passing touchdowns in a game at 16. So he's already tied with two Hall of Famers who had long careers. Elway played in a different era. Roethlisberger definitely, you know, part of his career was in a little bit of a different era. I mean, he won a Super Bowl that second season. Like, I think his stats are just hilarious. That year he won the Super Bowl with the Steelers and Jerome Bettis and you know, that team. But he still had a lot of good seasons, prime seasons in the current NFL, where passing is everything. And Mahomes is tied with him for most games with four passing TDs. So, yeah, I appreciate what we're seeing. It's truly incredible. He has made the incredible seem normal, and we have to try not to give into that. And I love having him back on top of the MVP race. And I love on Tuesdays when MVP, you know, after all the games are done, when MVP ballots or quote unquote fake ballots come out, and when power rankings come out. And I love just, you know, a lot of those have zero meaning to me, because I think literally the people that make them are either one, very, very dumb, or two, they purposely make them outrageous so that they get clicks on the internet, which is the economy of
makes
the internet.
Money.
But I don't, honestly, I don't really have a ton of respect for like power rankings or MVP ballots from like talking heads and talk shows and all that kind of stuff. But it's still fun to see them, the Chiefs at the top of all that stuff now, and Mahomes the front runner for MVP. You just love to see it.
And so again, a fun, easy Sunday, just watching, hanging out, having a good time, watching the Chiefs dominate.
Yeah, for me too, like I'm really starting to believe in this defense, and I'm really starting to move into that, like, it's Super Bowl or bust type of a season. And
which let me stop you there, which is crazy to say because of how the offseason went. Like, the narrative of the offseason was, we're trading away Tyreek Hill, we're getting rid of Tyrann Mathieu, we're going to play an insane amount of rookies on defense while the rest of the AFC is reloading and stockpiling on their teams, you know, hedging all for this season, while we said, you know, made moves in the offseason that were more future oriented, not this year. And that's incredible where we are right now, when that was what happened this offseason.
Yeah, and those were our expectations too, Kevin. It wasn't just like you know, the national media or anything like that, or the local media, as far as talking about the Chiefs in like kind of a rebuilding year. I think our Vegas over under win total was like 10.5 or something like that, 10.5. And so even Vegas, who, you know, is really good at this type of predicting the future, you know, they kind of saw us in a rebuilding year as well. And that was kind of the conversation. But yeah, I have shifted my belief into, or my expectation truly into a Super Bowl or bust year, which, you know, is tough because then, you know, if you don't win at all, you're going to be disappointed. Whereas really before the season, I didn't really have that mindset. But now I am, because I see the defense coming around. We're moving back towards the middle. We're moving towards that, those average positions on defense. And if we have an average defense this year, then we cruise. We don't cruise, but if we have an average defense, we will make it through the AFC and we will make it to the Super Bowl. And you know, those games, one game, it can always be a toss up, but we're just moving in that direction because, you know, of obviously everything Pat Mahomes does, but like you said, a lot of rookies on defense. And we started out the season, you know, not good. And in most advanced metrics, we were like 28th to 30th as far as defense goes. And now we're moving towards the middle. Moving towards the middle in most defensive stats. So, yeah, it's great to see. Karloftis had another swatted ball. Jones had another massive game. Kalen Saunders is a bona fide beast. Colin, not Kalen. Yeah, thank you. And McDuffie is like a legit lockdown number one corner. And so, it's a ton of fun that our defense is moving in that direction.
Yeah. When I was saying that about kind of, you know, looking more towards the future oriented while still trying to win now, it reminded me of what the Royals tried to do in 2017, that offseason where they traded Wade Davis for Jorge Soler, like didn't get rid of the core players, tried to make one last run at it, and it went miserably. Like, I think this is what Dayton Moore thought he could do, was like build for the future and still win now, which you don't have a Patrick Mahomes on your team and you can't do that in baseball, but
doesn't exist.
Seems like the Chiefs are able to kind of walk that line of, you know, we're stockpiling picks, we're getting under the cap, and hello, halfway through the season, we're the best team in the NFL.
Yep.
It's impressive. Brett Veach. Impressive.
Keep going, Brett. Don't stop.
All right. Anything else on the Chiefs for you?
Yeah, I mean, we went this whole time, didn't talk about Kadarius Toney. Expectations have already been exceeded, I feel like, and can't wait to see what's next.
I know. Expectations have been exceeded. I think this is what we thought would happen all those times we picked up like a Josh Gordon or Le'Veon Bell, where we thought, okay, this person's going to come in, make an impact. What is the offense going to be like? This is actually happening now, which is really exciting.
A third round pick and a six, like two draft picks, including a third rounder. That's not chump change by any means. So they obviously thought highly of him because that's a decent giveaway. So yeah, I mean, can't wait to see what's next. Yeah. And also CEH is done with the team. Well, hate to see that. Just kidding. I don't care. And yeah, that's it. That's all I had.
Okay. All right. Before we move on, I gotta read in some fan mail that we got here addressing our mixed plate last week.
Okay.
And I'll do this because KU is playing right now, but our Esquire, our lawyer for the podcast, Jim Kramer, said, I was shocked that Bill Self did not make your mixed plate of Kansas City coaches last week. So he was shocked. Yeah. As I'm sure you know, he was recently voted the best current college basketball coach by CBS Sports. In fact, the only reference to KU was Danny complaining that loyal KU fans contribute to the economic welfare of Missouri establishments by bringing their hard-earned money from Kansas and into Missouri Sports Bar in order to follow their favorite team. I trust there will be a publicized apology and retraction of the slanderous remarks made towards KU fans, as well as an amendment to the mixed plate to include Bill Self into the pantheon of coaches where he belongs. Do the right thing, guys. It's only fair. So
it's only fair.
Is there an apology coming?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'd like to apologize to exactly no one. And yeah, I mean, sorry, Jim. It's not happening. Not a chance, but we appreciate you always letting us know how you feel. But you're just wrong on this one.
KU fans just stimulating the economy in Missouri, just doing their part, helping out, stimulating the economy in
Missouri. From what I know, KU fans can't drink. softies, Charmin Ultra Soft.
As far as Bill Self,
one Mick Ultra, please.
As far as Bill Self not being on our mixed plate of coaches in the Kansas City area, we talked before the show, and morally, we didn't think it was the right thing to do to put a cheater on the list.
Yeah, given his recent allegations and his hair plugs,
his recent admission of guilt.
Admission, correct.
I mean, people don't self impose suspensions if they think that they did nothing wrong.
Correct.
So we thought morally we could not put him on that list of best coaches. So, but we appreciate the feedback and the write in for the fans. So. All right, let's move into some openings this week. Let's get right into it. Uncle John released big statement today. John Sherman says, hey, Cliff Notes version, we're building a ballpark and it's coming downtown. So buckle up, get ready. Couple highlights.
I don't think he ever said the word downtown. You know,
he said we're building a new stadium in Jackson County. You're right. Yes. He said we're building a new stadium in Jackson County.
He said several sites are being looked at.
Several sites. He said he's not going to raise taxes on the Jackson County citizens, is what he said also. Any other highlights or takeaways that you had from his statement?
Yeah, dude. To Billy for the stadium. I don't know. Maybe it's going to – $2 billion is a lot. Like $2 billion is more than Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. It's more than the New York Giants and New York Jets Stadium. That was 1.6.
Inflation these days.
It's one of the most expensive stadiums. So $2 billion is a massive price tag. I need to get a list of list of recent stadium costs. Yes.
Well, you look SoFi, that up.
SoFi was 5.5, and then the Raiders Allegiant was 1.9, Billy, and then MetLife, which is where Giants and Jets play, is 1.7, and then Mercedes Benz, which is the new, I think that's Atlanta's new stadium, that is 1.5. So these are all football stadiums. $2 billion. Is a lot. I mean, it'd be the second most expensive stadium in the world.
Yeah, I wonder if they're what they're thinking of, like what they put in with that cost. Are they thinking about the entertainment village that he talked about? The retail, the hotels, the apartments that'll go down there. It sounds like he really wants to make it not just a ballpark down there, but really, I mean, the rendering behind me is beautiful, but
no, it's not. No, the rendering actually sucks. I'm extremely disappointed in the rendering. Obviously, it's so they don't give away a site, but this rendering looks like it's in Corporate Woods. Like this rendering looks like there's a new DoubleTree being built behind you and like a freaking PNC Bank building right next to it. Like this building, this rendering, it looks like crap. And I'm really disappointed in the rendering because I live for renderings and this rendering is awful. It looks like it's set in the middle of Corporate Woods. And so we'll get to our ideal spots, but this rendering is ass because of, you know, the setting in the background.
Hey, just not trying not to tip their cards on this one. So they don't want you to know where it is. But I'm excited for it. I'm a pro downtown ballpark or in the city ballpark. I'm very pro that. I don't care about, I know how easy it was to access Kauffman. But I'm more excited. I think the pros outweigh the cons of moving it into the city. So I'm very excited for that.
I agree. So,
we'll chat more.
There's also in the open letter, there's a lot of mention of public and private funding for this. So he made sure to continually drop that. He's like, well, hey, we're not going to raise what you're currently paying, but lots of mention of public private, and like the partnership that needs to happen between the county and the team and the city and the team and the state and the team, lots of private public talk.
A lot of people say that billionaires should pay for their own stadiums. I'm not one of them. I'm a sucker. I'm a loser. And I will raise my taxes to pay for a stadium. Like, I'm just hands up. Like, even when I see things on a ballot that I don't even know, like, what they're trying to build, but they say they're going to raise taxes for it, out of principle, I always vote no on it. But this, I would vote yes. I would vote yes, okay, because I'm a sucker. I'm a sucker for sports. So yep. I'll split it with you. 50-50, Uncle John.
50-50, John.
A billy. And that would actually be a pretty good deal when you look at some of the deals that have been made to publicly finance some of these stadiums. It's like 75% public and 25% private. So 50-50 would be a pretty good deal. All right. Also opening, we've got the Crossroads Food Stop.
Yes, sir.
I didn't read anything about this one. I was too pumped about the Royals.
So Crossroads Food Stop. This is, I think it's like, okay, so I'll be honest. I can't, there hasn't been any news articles about it. And so I'm just like kind of going off a Facebook post from one of the owners and then the website, which is not great. So essentially what it is, or what it looks like, it's either a parlor / string hall concept, or it's a food trucks all in one place concept. I don't know if it's food trucks or actual kitchens inside a building. I don't know yet. I just don't know. But it's opening in the East Crossroads on 16th and Campbell. Okay, I'm looking at some pictures here. It looks like it's an indoor place, like it's a string hall / parlor situation. But it is 7 different restaurants in there. Like a couple Thai restaurant, a Mexican, Old Shawnee Pizza, you know,
the OSP.
Old Shawnee Pizza, OSP is going to be in there. An Indian kitchen is going to be in there. A place that serves only French fries called the Fry Lane, and then a chicken and waffles place. So it's got a little bit of everything from 7 different chefs and restaurateurs on the east side of the Crossroads. I think this is really close to our good friend Rafi Chaudhry at Torn Label, because that's at 17th and Campbell. So it must be right down the street from Torn Label. So this is, you know, I love the East Crossroads. I love that area. Torn Label has always kind of been a little further than anyone else. They're on like the furthest east of the east side of the Crossroads. But I'm glad, you know, stuff is starting to move down that direction.
Yeah, I've seen the Fry Lane on Instagram, and it's basically just food porn a little bit, just fries covered in all your favorite toppings, which, you know, cheese, meat, looks really good. All right, also opening is the Poke Bar, Poke and Sushi Barbecue.
I was looking at this and I was like, this is too many things. Like, there's too much going on here. It's called Hokey Bar, Pokey and Sushi Barbecue. So like, it's a bar. It's also got poke. It's also got sushi, and there's a barbecue twist on it all. I feel like they just threw barbecue at the end because they were like, dude, it's a restaurant in Kansas City. Just throw barbecue at the end of the name and like call it good. But it looks like they actually are going to do some like barbecue sushi rolls and barbecue, aka like smoked meats and rubs on them. Poke bowls and sushi rolls that are barbecue. And there's going to be a bar, I assume, unless Hokey Bar means something other than what I think it means, unless it's like a, you know, salad bar or something like that, like Hokey Bar. I don't know. But yeah, this is going on the plaza. It is actually open right now. They just had their grand opening. It's so this is going where Zoe's Kitchen was on the plaza, in basically the southeast corner of the plaza. So again, like build your own poke bowls with a barbecue twist. And then it's going to have sushi and it's got a barbecue twist. Ket Kyun Lo, who is from Indonesia, he is one of the partners in opening this, but it's local, so it's not like a big chain or anything. I think they're doing 40% off for the first week, and looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, that Zoe's Kitchen, or that building where that used to be, is a great spot on the corner. They have a great patio and kind of a nice view, because it's kind of tucked away back behind, like it's got a big lawn, so it's not too close to the street. So it's a nice little spot.
Yeah, I never went to Zoe's Kitchen, but yeah, right there next to Jack Stack. Yeah, it looks, I mean, that is a great spot. RIP Fred Piotts, that used to be right there as well. Mm-hmm. That was a great bar.
I know, I miss it. Anything in there? I don't think there's anything in there.
I don't think so.
Yeah. All right. Also closing, this one was kind of out of nowhere. I felt like Mickey's Hideaway is permanently closed for business, which is surprising because it's right next to Tin Roof, which would, you know, that place is always packed. So bringing a lot of foot traffic right there across the street from Kelly's, had good food and a good environment, but it's going under.
Yeah, I'm also surprised by this. This news came out, Kev, like it was a classic, you know, I think like 2 hours after we recorded last Tuesday. So this news is kind of a week old, but if you're hearing it for the first time, Mickey's Hideaway in Westport is closed. I'll be interested to see what this actually means, because like you said, I always saw people in there. I always thought it was relatively busy. They have an amazing patio. They have good foot traffic, and the owners of that, they own Beer Kitchen and Char Bar. Like, that's the same owners. And so I assume they know what they're doing. And I assume, like, you know, data was pointing in the direction of needing to change or something like that, because these are restaurateurs who have opened multiple restaurants and have been successful at it. So I assume they know what they're doing. So I'm going to stay excited about what they're going to turn that into, hoping that they do turn it into something new. Really hope they don't bail on that location or anything like that. But yeah, I hope these folks put something new in there, which would make me excited.
But yeah, sad to see it close. All right.
I think that was the first time we met Jesse.
Yeah, it was. It's a great spot
as a family
to take a lady. And then they had the, also very memorable about Mickey's Hideaway was the glitter art that just said herpes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Just said herpes. Yep. Yeah.
But great patio. I mean, fantastic patio, which hopefully, again, whatever happens to that place, they utilize that patio.
100%.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next, let's move into a little what we tried this week. This week, I got to try a couple restaurants that we had talked about recently on the podcast that were opening inside Parlor in the Crossroads. So got to try two, had a little appetizer from Ting's Filipino Bistro.
Nice.
Which was delicious. I got basically like pork belly. So just meat as an appetizer. Yeah, so it was their pork belly, kind of in a sweet and sour. So it's like super crispy, thin slices with like a sweet sauce. And then I also added a little chili vinegar dipping sauce as well.
I love those chili sauces.
Yeah, so that was really, really good. It's not like a barbecue flavor pork belly. So don't think barbecue, it's more crispy. So like kind of a fried, more bacon texture to it, but was still a real, real tasty treat. If I were to do it again, I'd probably pair it with some rice rather than just have it the meat a la carte, but still really good. Good flavor. I love the chili vinegar dipping sauce. It was really, really good. That was just my appetizer. I know. And then for the main course, I got to try Kalia's Pizzeria. So we had talked about this on the podcast as well.
Yeah, we did.
Where it was opened by, I think, a woman who had spent a lot of her career at the Italian Gardens in Kansas City, a classic. It was a restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Italian Gardens. And then now has opened up Kalia's Pizzeria kind of as a tribute to that. And it's Sicilian style pizza. So a little bit thicker, fluffier crust, but really, really good. Also tried a bite of the meatball sub there, which was also fantastic. So really good food coming out of Kalia's Pizzeria.
Nice. That sounds amazing. All right. This week I tried The Phoenix in KC. This isn't my first time being to the Phoenix. I posted from there, but it was my first time like with the new kind of new setup, new act, and it was a blast. We went kind of for a happy hour on Saturday, so they did have happy hour specials on a Saturday, which I appreciated, from 4 to 6. Nice. The live music started at 4:30. We got there at 4:30, and it was already crowded, but ton of fun. Mostly just did drinks and appetizers, but the performer Taylor Groves, she's there every single Saturday. Her name is Taylor Groves, and her band is The Boyfriends. Yeah, they rock. She gets up and dances like on the bar, which I Instagrammed, and you know, is very much interacting with the crowd. And it's not really one of those like live music is playing and you are just kind of having your own dinner conversation. It's like the live music is playing and everyone is watching and everyone is paying attention to the live music. And there's not like a lot of side conversations going on because of how great of a performer she is. So the Phoenix was a blast, and good happy hour specials for a Saturday with live music going on. Like that's rare to have both live music and a Saturday and have specials. Solid mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah. And just kind of being in that old building that the Phoenix is in downtown is just a really fun feeling. And you feel like, you know, you're kind of in just like, you're like, wow, this is Kansas City. Like I'm here, live music, people are dancing on pianos. It's the middle of the day and we've got just like live music, which doesn't happen a lot in Kansas City. So it's a ton of fun, to go to. All right. Also, okay, next up, we got a Leonardo DiCaprio meme. Hey, look, there's KC. Weed. It's legal. Recreational. So I was looking into it, and I think permits start to go out in December when I think this kicks in. And then they're hoping, I think by like February, then enough places like then have their license and can start selling. At least that's what I was reading.
Oh, I thought the places that already were open could start selling on December 8th.
Okay, so maybe that's true. Yeah, I know there was something about them applying for their licenses December 8th, but wasn't sure if they could actually start selling recreationally.
That's what I thought. Man, we should have Kenny Hertz Perry, the law firm.
Yeah, John Dedan.
Yeah, get dissect this law for us. But this was on the ballot last Tuesday, again, right after we finished recording. It won 53-47. So, you know, there was a lot of, and not only does this make recreational marijuana legal, but it expunges criminal records for nonviolent marijuana charges for everyone in the state. It's for adults over 21 too. So there is an age, same as the drinking mm-hmm. age. Actually tobacco is 21 now too. But
is it really?
I think so. Yeah.
Didn't know that.
But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of people, there was like a rising, campaign against this because, you know, the law wasn't perfect. And there were some people who thought it could, you know, just benefit some big companies and the small. So it was one of those like late second pushes where there's a lot of people who were in favor of legal recreational marijuana, but they were against this law because it wasn't exactly what they wanted. That's kind of annoying because it's like, dude, just like get the law passed and then figure it out once it's passed. So I'm glad that it did pass. And I'm glad that it passed just because I think that's, you know, I don't think marijuana should be illegal. I'm not a user of marijuana. I think something tells
sounds
me,
like
I don't know,
something someone who smokes weed would say.
Patrick, no, I think former guest Patrick Moore might be in favor of this. It's hard to tell based off of
hard
his Instagram.
Tell.
I'm mm-hmm. not sure if Patrick Moore supports this amendment, but as
I think
a non-user,
I think he's going to start getting paid more. He's got sponsors. He's got sponsors from some dispensaries, so this is good for business.
As a non-user, I still do support this, and you know who I think is sneaky really into marijuana? Boomers.
Oh yeah, they are.
Boomers. I think this is going to be a big thing for boomers, and they're going to get gummies and they're going to think it's so fun, and I think this is a big thing for boomers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's ask Jim Cramer next time. Jim, if you're listening to this, just go ahead and write it.
All right. Next. Okay, so this isn't really a Midwest Mad. It is a little bit, but then I didn't include it in my personal pine jar because I have something else. But my Midwest Mad is I want to get Midwest Mad at Zillow and like Redfin and house listings, but I can't. Like Zillow and Redfin need a comment section. They need a comment section.
No,
they do because like I'll see houses and I'll see the price range and I want to put an opinion into the public sphere of debate about it. So I want Zillow and Redfin to, like, sure, I'll log in and maybe have to put my real name in that way. Maybe we can control what's being said out there.
Well, no,
you know, pay $8, pay $8 a month, get a check mark so they know it's me.
That will go smoothly.
That'll fix it. But then I want Zillow to have a comment section where I can say, you want 450 grand for this house? You're out of your goddamn mind. And just roast people selling the houses trying to get too much for it. Be like, you've got the, like, that's amateur hour in your kitchen. And you want me to pay the, how much for your house? And just be able to roast them.
Yeah.
I wish that function existed.
Well, it kind of does because
maybe there's a niche website we can make just for that.
I think I don't know if that's going to contribute to positive outcomes in society. I think that will contribute more towards toxic online culture. I'm not sure, but I think it could contribute towards more toxic online culture, which I don't think we need right now, Kev. But
I'm going to get toxic.
I think you know what? I'll say this. You know how you can comment?
How?
The free market, you don't buy it,
yeah,
and, or you offer less, or you say, "Hey, I'll buy your house for less because I disagree with the price," and they can say, "Well, I appreciate your comment by offering less, but these people over here, they offered me more, so I'm going to sell to them."
Well, just saying, it would be a riot. I would really appreciate being able to at least, like, you know, finding someone to be mad with me, you know, like if I could post like, you want how much for this house and that kitchen, and someone else could be like, yeah, dude, what the heck do these people think they're doing?
Yeah.
And then it's like, united.
I'm going to find the people who own this and
make some friends. Yeah. As long as we're paying, you know, $8 to post, we'll be good.
Yeah. Can't go wrong.
All right. Personal pine tars this week. Let's keep the train rolling. I'll let you go.
No one, and I do mean no one, gets toothpaste on their shirt or pants more than me. I lead the world in toothpaste while brushing my teeth, dripping out and falling onto my shirt. And it is impossible to get out outside of doing a load of laundry. It does not come out with just taking water and with a towel and trying to get it out of your shirt or your pants, because then you'll create a wet spot and you're like, okay, I got it out. And then it'll dry and you'll get to work and be like, nope, there's the toothpaste stain. Grandma Anna, if you're listening to this, there's probably like an old school, I don't know, add baking powder or something like that to a water mixture and then rub the toothpaste stain out. But I think toothpaste is basically like baking soda, right? But like there's nothing you can do to get it out outside of washing it. And so if I've got like a, you know, an outfit on that I was planning on wearing and then I got toothpaste on it, I always get toothpaste on it. And mostly it's because, you know, I'm trying to do two things at once. We've got the kids, two kids, not a big deal. I don't know if I've mentioned this, but I have two kids that were trying to get out the door to go to daycare. So I'm trying to do multiple things at once. And I always, without fail, not always, I won't say always, but I lead the world in getting toothpaste stains on my shirt and pants.
Yeah, that's tough because you always think it comes out too, the first pass of the water, and then it dries and it's still there.
You think, you think you're like, oh, I got it this time. All those other times I didn't get it, but this time I got it. I can't see the stain. And then it dries and it's still there.
All right. Yeah, that's real annoying. All right. My personal pine tar, I was in the line with the rest of the 8 billion people on Earth trying to get Taylor Swift tickets. Really, I was doing this as a favor to someone, but I was also thinking like, maybe I'll get tickets too, depending on, you know, price range, what happens. So, basically the work Wi-Fi, our overlords at Oracle did not want us on the Taylor Swift Ticketmaster website. So that wasn't allowed, blocked. Mm. So I just had to do it on my phone, Wi-Fi free, draining data. So
not a chance.
Stood in line, not pretty easy, very passively checking it. 2,000 plus people ahead of me all day. Ticker didn't even move. I was like, all right, whatever. That's cool. Then on my way home from work, it finally starts to move. And then by the time I get home, I'm finally up. I'm in line. But the person I was buying tickets for, they already got their tickets. Like someone else was helping them out, kind of had a divide.
So they asked multiple people to wait in line for them?
As they were also waiting in line, yeah.
Uh-huh.
To try to help out, to make a little girl's dream come true, Danny. So yeah, we were helping out. And then I finally get there, and I could have bought two tickets for $99 each. But they were like literally top row of Raytona Beach behind the stage. And I was like, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't sit there. I went to Taylor Swift like 4 years ago,
or 5 years
ago, whenever she was there. I paid $40 for a ticket in the upper deck. So I was just like, I don't think that I'd be able to turn these for much of a profit, even if I did buy them.
Yeah.
So decided not to do it. And I just have a feeling that the prices are just going to like triple and I'm going to look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like those tickets could go for like $400 and I'm going to be sitting there.
No. Like, they won't go for that
much.
We'll
see.
The stage. Yeah, I think, yeah, man, she's done an incredible job building up an incredible brand that is pretty
easy.
I guess I'll say infallible, and like she's really can't do anything wrong in the eyes of her fans, and she's got an incredible brand for what she yeah. puts out, what
and it
she,
helps
she puts out there.
It helps that her like most public nemesis is Kanye. So then you're immediately taking her side.
Yeah. And I don't think, you know, no, I think Taylor has entered the stratosphere of like, you know, it's more
five
about
biggest
like,
superstars on the planet. Like,
yeah, it's more about, you know, the status of saying you were there than, or just like being a part of this incredible experience at the peak of her powers and going to a Taylor Swift concert is like the equivalent of seeing the Pope. Right. And she just entered into the stratosphere, and that has all been very carefully put together and created as this incredible, infallible, untouchable brand. And it's extremely impressive considering the quality of music. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
If you're an alien that comes down from Earth and you're like, hey, listen to this music. I've never heard of this person before. Listen to this music. And you'd be like, oh yeah, that's good.
You're the problem, Danny. You're the problem. But when I was there, I've been to a lot of concerts. I've been to Arrowhead for concerts. I've seen some of the biggest like country music stars at concerts. I've been to smaller concerts, seen like, you know, some more like alternative bands. But seeing Taylor Swift, it was the aura. I mean, there was like people are pack Arrowhead for Garth and for Kenny, and they're there to like get drunk, have a good time, and listen to some music. Like at Taylor Swift, it's like everyone's there just to stare at her and watch her and go insane. So it's
the Beatles, man.
It was the Beatles, and I'd never seen people go so crazy over someone. Like when Kenny comes out, like everyone's cheering and 70,000 people are going nuts, but it's just because everyone's there to have a good time. But when she came out, it was just like people losing their minds because they were sharing a space with her.
Yeah.
Myself included.
Her best friend went to KU. People forget that.
Mm-hmm.
She used to go to Lawrence all the time. People forget that. Remember that? Mm-hmm. I remember being in college and being like, because she's my age, I think, right? T. Sweetie,
maybe a year,
yeah,
1989.
That's right. But I remember being in college and being, and there, like, there's always be like, there's always these weird rumors that got shared between like KU, K State, Mizzou. It'd always be like a weekend where it'd be like, did you guys hear the rumor? Taylor's at KU this weekend. Taylor's at the Hawk this weekend. And it'd just be like, oh shit, really? And, you know, I think she had, I mean, she, even in college, she had Our Song is a Slam and Scream. Like,
yeah,
she had,
that was
some,
16. Yeah.
Yeah. That was massive, massive album. So yeah. Good for her.
Yeah. It's impressive. And I didn't think that was true about her going to Lawrence. And I was like, okay, I've heard these stories. Does anyone have, actually have any pictures? And then there was a picture of her. Someone sent me of her at Bullwinkle's. So I was like, damn it. That is
a real picture.
Real
not
picture.
Photoshopped.
Not
one
Photoshopped.
Picture.
One picture. It was real. She really went there.
All right.
So I thought she would, like, Taylor was just making it up for her brand, but she actually went there.
That's negative for the brand.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into this mixed plate. I'm excited for this one because we're going to talk about our mixed plate of Royals Stadium locations. So Uncle John Sherman, he hinted, said it'd be in Missouri. He said it's moving. Didn't say where. They're evaluating several sites. So we've got some ideas for him. Backed by no research.
Zero.
Just our brains. So Danny, episode 183, that means you get to spit first.
Yes. All right. My meet number one here, I think some of these we've talked about, but, you know, we'll just go back through them. My meet number one here is East Crossroads. I'm a big fan of the East Crossroads site. I think I've even, like, drawn out exactly. I've done the Google Maps and, like, taken a satellite picture and then drawn out exactly where it can go, because it can go right where that massive Goodwill building is. Just west of 71, and it can just be, I think it's around like 19th, 18th area, East Crossroads, close to 71. There's plenty of space. There's a huge Goodwill building that's completely empty. There's a massive, like, old Tension Envelopes building right there. Put it right there. Prosper, baby. It's close to Union Station. It's close to the streetcar. It's close to the crossroads. It's close to 18th and Vine and the historic area down there. Just boom, right there. It's perfect. And then and then it faces and looks at downtown.
Yeah, it's a good spot. It's a good location. I like it. Not as much as my meet number one, which is it's Crown Center. So Blue Cross and Blue Shield, they're moving their headquarters from Crown Center to the what was supposed to be Wardell and Reed's headquarters on, I don't know, what'd you call that, 14th Street, right?
Yeah, like
on the
Baltimore.
North side. Yeah, right on the north side of 635. 670, sorry, 670, right on the north side there. So they're moving. That means that whole building and parking structure is basically being vacated. So put the ballpark right there. You got the Union Station streetcar stop right there. Again, face downtown, face Union Station. It's right there by the Liberty Memorial. It would be incredible. Very easy to access to, a great part of town. And yeah, so I'd love it right there, Crown Center.
All right, side number two for me, I have Crown Center on my list. I'm going with getting rid of the North Loop and putting it where the North Loop of the downtown 670 loop is. So basically use the stadium to connect downtown to the River Market. There's been, you know, I know we're moving forward as a city, Kansas City, with decking the South Loop. So, like, putting a park over the South Loop, but there's also been discussions about getting rid of the North Loop of that downtown interchange and just raising that. I would love the stadium to be there and connect downtown to the River Market. And I think that would be an incredible site for the stadium.
Yeah, I would love to see that too. I'm very anti North Loop and South Loop. So we're big proponents of the decking that's going to be happening. And that's going to bridge the crossroads and downtown. And then taking out the North Loop, really, you could walk from the crossroads down to the River Market without having to risk your life going across a highway. That would be nice.
Well, we don't have to do that right now with bridge, but
still scary walking across all those highways with tons of traffic. So it'll be nice. So I like that location. That's a good spot. All right. My meet number two. Man, I want to get weird here. Let's see. I would go with... man, I like downtown, like kind of that east downtown location that they've picked out. I think it's a favorite on the list. So just east of City Hall, there's a ton of just abandoned parking lots. I don't love the view from there so much because you're looking towards a lot of those big cement buildings and the AT&T building.
Dude, kind of. That's classic architecture, bro.
But I like it being downtown. It's very walkable to Power and Light. Again, that area of is just parking lots and surfaces. So it'd be nice to see that more utilized. It have good, easy access with the highway right there. So maybe it would appease some of our people who are so concerned about access and parking. But yeah, so I like that location too.
Okay. Side number one for me. I believe this is. Yeah. I'm going Berkeley Riverfront. I'm going add to the riverfront. I love, you know, what the River Market and City Market have going for it right now. The new stadium for the current, where that's going. I think there's still space there for a baseball stadium. So I like those ballparks where there's, you know, it's on the river of their downtown. I think that's a great look and continued development of the riverfront. So I'm going to go Berkeley Riverfront.
Yeah. Getting crazy too. I'm not going to put this on my mix plate, but it could possibly go right across the river from the soccer stadium too. A lot of it's kind of industrial. So I don't love all the, there's like railroad tracks and stuff to deal with, I think. But right across the river could be kind of cool. That's kind of how Nashville did their football stadium, where everyone basically goes from Broadway, walks across this giant bridge to the football stadium. That could be a cool location too, but that's not what I'm using. Just going off the river.
Just to be clear. Is that like the airport though, basically?
Right by the downtown airport, yeah. There's some land there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It'd be a nice bridge connecting North Casey and downtown too. All right. But my real choice for my side number one here is going to be to demolish Southwest High School and put it right in Brookside. Give it the neighborhood Wrigleyville type feel. I'm sure all the Brookside residents would love this idea, but
we got to vote on it. The HBA.
Yeah. That's a lot of area where that Southwest High School is.
It's massive.
It's a huge, huge spot. It would be a place where, you know, eventually the streetcar could get out to there. You'd be able to walk to like Waldo and those shops and bars. The whole Brookside area with shops and bars. East Brookside continues to grow with more breweries, bars and restaurants too. So I mean, that would just be sweet if it was right in a neighborhood. Kind of get that Wrigleyville feel a little bit. So that's what I'm going with. Southwest High School location.
All right. Side number two for me. Where do I want to go with this? I'm gonna go I'm going to go 18th and Vine. I'm going to go build that historic area out. And although it's on the other side of 71, that highway is gross. And I hate that highway very, very much. Mm-hmm. 18th and Vine. Final.
Okay.
Answer.
Yeah. Right by the Urban Youth Academy, too.
That's pretty close.
Good,
yeah.
That's a good location. It'd be a nice kind of end cap of that 18th Street. We've talked about this on the show before. We talked about it with Bo Nelson at Thou Mayest when he was at the Collective. You know, 18th Street could be this, you know, incredible street in Kansas City where you walk down the whole street and it's nothing but, you know, breweries, coffee shops, other shops, and then ends with a baseball stadium would be pretty sweet. Yep. All right. I'm going to stay getting wacky with my other idea here for ballpark. I'm taking down Frank A. Thies Park, which is south of the Nelson Atkins. It's a massive park. It's just as big as the land that Kauffman's on right now. So I think you could even include some parking. The plaza could use a ton of ideas for space. It could use more foot traffic down there. It could be less department stores and more entertainment. And I think putting the ballpark right on the plaza would do that. You'd have a great view. It would have that kind of neighborhood feel also here, which would be a lot of fun. So that's why I chose that location, the Frank A. Thies Park, right on the plaza.
Love it. Love it. This is perfect timing to wrap up because my computer's about to die and the charger.
Oh, perfect. So his computer did die. We did lose Danny, but that's all we've got for the show. Other ideas. I do still like the West Bottoms idea. I mean, there's just so much space down there and could be something cool. Danny said, LOL, computer died. So he's out. But that's a good spot to wrap up the show. So thanks for listening this week. Be sure to follow us on social media at State Your Line. And we'll see you around Kansas City.